Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
God bless you. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 92. I want to commence reading at verse 12, Psalm number 92, and we shall commence reading at verse 12. Recorded are these words: the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. Verse 14 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, don't let the old age fool you. Don't let the old age fool you. This word today comes talking about the righteous in God has to do with understanding the relationship that one enters into, grows and matures in, and in the ending of life, continuing on in fellowship and relationship with God, there are just some things that are highlighted and spotlighted about the righteous who are in the Lord at an old age. There are some blessings that I absolutely love concerning the old and those who have grown in God, and they are considered, first of all, righteous. Righteous. Look at what verse 12 says. The righteous. Somebody say righteous. Those are those who are still in right standing with God. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. There are things in these verses that I want us to see from verse 12 through verse 15. The first thing I want you to see is the word says they shall flourish like a palm tree. Now let's take a moment out, if you will, because if the word says they shall flourish like a palm tree, it didn't say they shall flourish like an oak tree. Didn't say that they shall flourish like a pine tree. Didn't say that they shall flourish like an apple tree or any other tree. But notice the tree that they said that the righteous, especially the older righteous, was compared to. They shall flourish like a palm tree. One of the things that you'll know about palms are stately trees. Many times in finer homes and estates, etc., you have palms planted. Palms don't naturally grow in this part of the world, but there are palm trees that are brought in and planted to give that ambience and a state and astute and a godly and a goodly kind of air about it. And so there are some things about it that I think you ought to know. First is that in barren soil, it is watered deep at the roots. In barren soil. Now here's one of the things that I love about this. When there is an economic famine, when there is a dry spell for the most of us, when things are not as productive and as not profitable for the rest of us, the palm tree in this likeness does not seek its sustenance or its substance from the same place on the same level that everybody else and all the other trees does. When there is a shortage of water on top of the ground, the palm tree has the ability to be watered not from the top of the ground, but deep down where the root system is. So one of the things I think you need to recognize and understand, my brothers and sisters, that when everything else is hot and dry and dying out because of a lack of water source, the palm tree, it doesn't matter if it's raining on top. Their source is not from the top of the ground, but underneath the ground. Have you ever noticed a senior saint when they are not shaken and they're not moved by every wind and doctrine? They are not moved by every little situation. It's because their source isn't on the surface but underneath the skin, because they have stood in barren situations many times before. They know from experience that this too shall pass. That they've been through some hard times and they made it. They know what it's like to be able to stand when all around them are falling. Second thing I need to tell you about the palm tree is the fruit of the palm provides a great part of the diet for the East. Now listen at this. Even when other trees are fading and falling, because the palm gets its watering source from underneath the ground, even when it is a famine in other places, the palm is still giving fruit for others to survive. Listen at this. It's amazing how older folk, many times, they may not have a whole lot of money in the bank, may not have a lavish account, may not have all of these other things, but isn't it amazing how they can wind up helping the folk that ought to be helping them? You go to Big Mama and them, you know, you ought to be giving her money. You ought to be, but you go there and start sob stirring and so forth. Big Mama run her hand under the mattress. Go in the closet. Go in a shoebox and peel off. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. You don't even know that's there, but many times when you ought to be the one helping the older folk are helping children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so their fruit sustains others many times during the famine. Third thing is, the big stones that fall from the pine and cedar trees are ground up for the camels to utilize in their diets. The leaves are made into baskets. The hard boles or the strong leaves, which are 6 to 8 feet long, are used to make fences. The juice makes arak, which is a very strong oriental drink. The threads of the leaves make ropes. And the wood makes building or burning material. When you look at the palm tree, there is more than meet the eye. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, when we look at the older saints, we see them, but we don't really see them. We look at them, but we don't know what they're made of and the stuff that they're made of and the stuff that they've endured and what they've come through. And when we look at them, we don't have the appreciation that the psalmist has for the righteous old. I want you to notice something else. The Bible says, too, they shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Now listen at this, because cedars usually lived an extremely long time. And some are supposed to be up to 1,000 years old. They grow from 80 to 120 feet tall and even are 30 to 40 feet, not inches, 30 to 40 feet in circumference. That's one of the reasons why you don't have to worry about cedars falling like talking about. One of the things that you'll notice that they express the idea of majesty. They express the idea of durability. They express the idea of incorruptibility. And they express the idea of stability. When you're talking about the reference here that's made to the older saints, can I tell you there is more wealth of worth and wisdom in older saints than you may recognize? Can I tell you, when somebody gets to be old, they hadn't gotten that way by osmosis. Somebody's not listening to me here. The older people get and become, much of it has to do with their relationship and their walk in this world and understanding who they are and whose they are and knowing that it has been nobody but the Lord who has extended their life and their ability to be productive in this world even at an old age. I don't want you to fool yourself and think that all old people are ready to just crawl up in the corner and just sit down in a chair and just breathe their life away. It has been proven scientifically, medically, and socially that older people today are growing older now more than ever before in time, in recent times. And so there is a reality now that there are things that must shift now to accommodate the older people who are growing older than most had previously expected. Now, I don't know if you need to shout about that because you might not be at that place right now, but if you got any inkling how good it is to be blessed, to be old, why don't you just give God a praise break right now? All right, I want you to see something else. Look at this word, because I want you to go back in it with me. It says in verse 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now here's what you need to know. When you become the righteous of God, again, spiritually, you are planted. That's why you ever notice you don't find old folk church hopping. I don't care what goes on in the church, how it rises and how it falls, what comes and what winds blow, you ain't gonna find older saints church hopping. Why is that, preacher? Number one, they've been planted. And when you've been planted, you got to realize that the one who planted you knew where you would best grow and be groomed and be able to give what was necessary as a result of the fruit God has given to you. Sometimes what you don't understand is that God plants you in a place not so that the place can be everything that you need it to be all the time, but you being in it helps it to be that it ought to be for everyone God sends to that place. And so many times when there's a famine, you can find the fruitfulness of the older saints being able to give you an encouraging word. Just hold on. Just be strong. This ain't the first time this has happened, and it won't be the last. You're not the first one this has happened to. You won't be the last. It's amazing how, because they have been there through the storm and through the rain, they've seen ups and downs. They've seen people come, and they've seen people go. They've seen folk who run fast, and they once seen folk run out. They have seen so much if you would just appreciate what they offer and bring to the table. It will bless your heart. They are planted in the courts of our God. Can I tell you, God likes to look at good stuff? Listen at this. They shall flourish in the courts of God. That's the 13th verse. Flourish. See, one of the things you need to know is you'll never flourish where you're not planted. You'll never flourish. You may survive. You may get by, but you'll never flourish unless you are in the place that God plants you. Remember, you are planted there not for you, but for those to whom the Lord has given you and your fruit to be a blessing to. Listen, that's something else I want you to see. Verse 14 says, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. They, the older folk, shall bring forth fruit. When, preacher? In old age. Now here's a word. It's no reason to leave your post when you are profitably practicing what God has produced in you. What I'm trying to help somebody understand is that you oughtn't resign because you're old. You ought to resign because you're useless. Catch that, somebody. Catch that, somebody. If God doesn't stop blessing you, using you, then you've got no reason to stop just because you've reached man-made age of retirement. If God hadn't retired you, don't stop. We're talking about God's business now. We're talking about God's house here. We're talking about the work of God. We're talking about what God has planted you in his courtyards to do. And when you recognize that your usefulness is gone, then the evidence is clear that he's through in your season using you. But until it's there, don't let numbers knock you out the way.
Yes, sir.
There are so many believers and so many folk who have much to offer and much to give and much to share, and yet we many times don't get the benefit of all of those older saints, don't know how to get in to their hearts and minds and receive all and glean from all the blessings and benefits and learn from that wisdom, because we figure they're too old in our modernistic society, in our cybernetic age. They may not know nothing about all of that stuff, but I got news for you. The stuff they do know will take care of you not only now, but after a while. Listen at this. I want you to see this. They will still bring forth fruit in their old age. Just because they're young and were fruitful, now that they're old doesn't mean that they have to stop being fruitful. There are many young people in old bodies represented right here in these rows. Some folk who have not succumbed to age. Just because they've crossed 70 don't mean that they let 70 cross them. Oh, somebody don't hear me here. Somebody who has recognized that there's more life and more love and more ability now than that. Yeah, maybe their steps may be slower, but by all means, they are now surer.
All right.
They don't waste time doing stuff that don't matter. Everything they do now is well worth it now. They don't waste time going through the motions. They plan their work, then work their plan. They make their steps count. Or maybe they may not see as far as they used to see, but I got news. They can see into the spirit realm and the things that really matters more. They may not hear all the stuff that goes on, but I can promise you the stuff they need to hear, they hear it. Just because you get old, if life is inside of you, then live it. Live it. We've got some older saints who are 70 plus, who will out worship and out praise and out dance folk half their years. Half their years. Half their years. You got some old saints that look at you and let you know, just because there's snow on the rooftop. All right, I'll leave that alone there. I'm going to stay out of old folk business. All I'm trying to tell you is life can still be fruitful in old age. Who told some of the older saints to give up on life? Who told you you can't do what you used to do? You might not do it as fast, but then that ain't always good.
That's right.
You may not be able to do it the way others said, but then when you learn from wisdom how to work and get the best out of what you do, you don't have to work as long nor as hard to get the same results. And so the Bible says that in their old age they shall be fruitful. And you begin to recognize that, look at that, live as they, you will find something else. The 15th verse says this. They are, at the end of 14, they shall be fat and flourishing. They shall be fat and flourishing. It literally means that they shall be green and fruitful. It literally means that they are going to show signs of still being healthy and still being able to be productive and still doing things that honor God. And then 15 verse says, the reason that they're going to be this way is to show that the Lord is upright.
See,
when you got palm trees and you've got cedars of Lebanon, you've got trees that have proven that time did not do to them what it had done to many other trees that started out with them. The fact that they are existing and they are so huge and so tall and so stately and so majestic is because they represent God.
Yeah.
God. You know, that's why sometimes, saints, it's important for you to help the younger saints recognize that you haven't always been what you are now, that you have grown into this place. Because sometimes when we see your walk, hear your talk, understand your life, we don't know about your shortcomings, your falls, your mistakes, and those things. And it almost appears as if you have been perfect all your life, but you need to encourage younger saints and believers and say, baby, listen, you can change your ways. You can turn around. You can succeed, because I was once where you are, but God has delivered me, and I am, by the grace of God, what I am today. So oftentimes, our testimonies are without full disclosure. We don't really want folk to know where we've come from, as if to taint where we are. But what that does is it robs us of giving God the glory that he wants, that he desires. That's why he plants you where you are. So when folks say, have you always been this big? Have you always been this stout? Have you always been this stable? Have you always been this strong? The answer should come back, no. I've not always been this way. And then you ought to be like David, who said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. Well, I'm trying to help somebody say, the Bible says in the 15th verse, to show that the Lord is upright. See, there are some people who's been through the storm and they've been through the rain, but the fact that they're still standing, it's a testimony that they made it by the grace of God. Oh, I wish I had a witness in the house. But listen at this, because the word says, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And I don't know how you feel about it today, my brother and my sister, but believe me when I tell you, it is a blessing to be old. And I don't care how much color you put in your hair. And I don't care how you do this and do that to bring back the youthfulness of your days gone by. Whatever you do, don't forget that where you are, the Lord brought you. I wish I had a witness in this house. Whatever you do, don't get to the point where you don't realize that old age is a blessing. And that in the old age comes wisdom, not only before God, but also before men. I'm gonna leave you when I tell you that you're not here on your own, but it's by the grace of Almighty God that you are still here. How many of you know famine could have taken you out, recession could have taken you out, enemies could have taken you out, high blood could have taken you out, diabetes could have taken you out, cancer could have taken you out, all kinds of ills could have taken you out, but God still has you here. Oh, to show he's righteous. There are a whole lot of folk that gave up on you a long time ago, but aren't you glad God is still watching, sitting up high and still looking down low, still making ways out of no ways. I'm gonna leave you when I tell you an old story I told you long years before. That was an old man just after slavery times, and he worked for this man on his large plantation, and he had worked there so long, from his young days to his old age. An old master was getting ready to die, and he told his son to take care of old brother Jones. But that old son didn't have the kind of care and love that his father had. And he discovered that the old man wasn't worth being taken care of. The boy found out that the old man had learned about many of his unsavory business practices and found out that the old man saw too much, knew too much, and thought that he might talk too much. But he wanted to get rid of him, but his old man words kept coming back to him. So he made up in his mind that he couldn't kill him, but he'd hire a marksman who would kill for hire. And he called this man in to have him kill the old man. Well, he brought the man in to kill old man and threw down $5,000 on the counter. And the man said, "Before I take this job, tell me something about the man you want me to kill." He said, "Where does he live?" He said, "He lives back across the bayou on my plantation." He said, "Well, tell me who lives with him." He said, "He lives by himself." He said, "Well, does anybody travel with him to work?" He said, "No, he walks alone." He said, "Well, tell me, why do you want this old man killed?" "Because I believe he's getting senile and he can mess up my business if he talks too much." He said, "When do you want him killed?" He said, "ASAP. He said, "Man, I do kill for a living, but I'm careful about who I kill. So I'm going to observe him for a few days. And then by the end of the week, I'll come back to get this money." The man said, "No, take the money with you. And then when the job is done, I'll know you earned your keep." Well, the man went off to observe the old man. And he watched him at work. And he watched him at home. And the more he watched that old man, he saw something strange and peculiar about that old man. He noticed his walk was a purposeful walk. He noticed the old man had a tremble in his hand. And he noticed that the old man talked to himself. And he noticed that the boy might have been right about the old man. But that was an uneasiness in that man's heart about killing that old man. Well, after several days had gone on by, that old man felt something going on the inside.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
This is KAYT, Gina.